Later this week, journalists at the Los Angeles Times will vote on whether to form a union for the first time in the paper's 136-year history. The organizing campaign has been driven by fears that years of job cuts will continue in 2018. There are also growing concerns about the paper's new leadership and its commitment to journalism. Recent staff meetings with the paper's new editor-in-chief reflected those concerns, as NPR's David Folkenflik reports.
The Los Angeles Times may not have big movies out about its blockbuster exposés, yet it is one of the proudest news organizations in the country, boasting the largest newsroom west of the Potomac River. Matthew Pierce is a national reporter for the LA Times.
All those decades we went without unions when we were owned by the Chandler family, it worked for people because, it was a paternal relationship. We were part of the Chandler family in a sense.
Pierce is also one of the chief internal organizers for the establishment of the union there. The Chandlers hated organized labor, and the newspaper was once known as the Velvet Coffin, a place so rich with pay and benefits that few wanted to leave or to start a union. That was before the cuts.
We don't have that relationship with our current ownership. You know, it's they take and we give. And that's just not working for people anymore.
The LA Times is now owned by Tronc, comprised of what used to be the Tribune Company's newspapers. Tronc's chairman alienated staff by giving himself a $5 million a year consulting fee. Louis Dvorkin is the paper's new editor-in-chief. Years ago, Dvorkin had jobs at the Wall Street Journal and Newsweek. He later was an executive at AOL, and he led Forbes magazine into a digital model with a network of contributors. Some writers were paid, others unpaid. Still others paid Forbes for the right to post essays.
The number one priority that we have at the LA Times is nothing short of digital transformation. We need to be part of the digital world as it's evolving.
Here, Dvorkin introduced himself in early November at a meeting attended by more than 100 journalists. NPR obtained audio tapes of that meeting from an attendee, not Pierce. Dvorkin was asked about the fallout of a Times project from a few months earlier. Here was MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski back in early November.
All right, Disney and the LA Times have been caught in an ongoing feud with no end in sight.
CNBC's Dominic Chu picked up the tale.
The latest is a boycott of Disney by a slate of journalists. Now, Disney took offense to an investigative piece published by the LA Times.
The LA Times documented big financial breaks given to Disney by the city of Anaheim, home to Disneyland. The studio banned the LA Times' movie critics and reporters from advanced screenings of its movies, a blow for Hollywood's hometown daily. Its new CEO, Ross Levinson, has said the LA Times should own entertainment coverage nationally. Dvorkin had met with Disney executives. The company restored access after having what it called productive discussions with the Times. Journalists there repeatedly pressed Dvorkin at that meeting in early November on what that meant.
There was nothing to be defensive about. There were no inaccuracies in this story. There was no claim of inaccuracies. So I move forward to the next thing because I want to be on the offense and not the defense. That's how I answer that question.
One reporter complained that Dvorkin hadn't publicly defended the paper's coverage and allowed the entertainment reporters to be pawns. He didn't yield an inch.
There was a question asked to me, did I make a concession? The answer is no. I listened to what they had to say.
Reporters asked, then why did the LA Times carry only a brief account of the dispute? Dvorkin replied he had little appetite to talk more about a media spat. However, several days later, after the New York Times covered the disagreement with Disney, Dvorkin called staffers to a second meeting, at which he said he would reveal a startling piece of information. Dvorkin told staffers his remarks at the first meeting had been recorded and leaked to the New York Times.
Clearly, someone here is not playing by the rules of ethical behavior, as far as I'm concerned.
Not ethical. Dvorkin then suggested one of his journalists had broken state law in recording that first meeting, though more than 100 people were present. Nobody had my consent, Dvorkin said.
At its core, it was unethical. And frankly, I think it showed a degree that whoever was involved was morally bankrupt.
That's right, he called a colleague morally bankrupt, though reporters for the LA Times have also relied on leak recordings for their reports. Dvorkin declined to respond to detailed questions, directing me to two blog postings he had written about the paper's future. I spoke with a half dozen journalists from the LA Times, though none would speak about Dvorkin on the record. They said they feared for their jobs as they had no union protection. The vote will be taken Thursday and tallied on January 19th. David Folkenflik, NPR News.